Dear Chevra, it's good to speak with you, even through this medium, which is called Zoom. And at this point in time, I think we all need some chizuk en emuna. We always need chizuk en emuna. But at this point of time, particularly with the global pandemic, I'd like to share with you my story, my experience, post-Pesach, Tafshin Kaf Zayin, 1967. I was your age. I was 20 years old, a junior in Yeshiva College, second year in the Rav's Shir. And I think that a story is in place. The Ramban, in his Hakdama to Sefer Bereishis, points out Moshe Rabbeinu, Kosav HaSefer Hazeh, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Bereishis, Im HaTorah Kula Mipiv Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hakarov, the Ramban has a theory, Shiksavo V'har Sinai, that just as Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the rest of the Torah on Har Sinai, he also wrote Sefer Bereishit, Kisham Ne'amar Lo Alei Elai Ohara, V'heyesham, V'nalacha Es Luchosa Evan, V'hatorah, V'hamitzvah, Asher Kasafti L'horosam. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that I want to give you on Har Sinai the following, Luchota Evan, which is, as we know, the Aseret HaDibrot, V'hamitzvah, Mispar HaMitzvot Kulan, Asei V'lo Ta'aseh. Im Kain, what then is V'hatorah? Yichlol HaSipurim. HaTorah are all of the stories Mitchilat Reshit. This is part of the Torah. Ki hu moreha anashim baderech b'inyan ha'emuna. Stories bring about emuna. Now, I'm not a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the story I'm going to tell you is not Sefer Bereishis. But the Ramban is positing that a story can be ma'o'er emuna, and so perhaps my story also will help us in terms of our emuna. I'd like to start a bit with the background. Let's go back in time to 1967, and there was a gzeira. There was a gzeira during the winter of 1967, a gzeira lahashmid, laharog, ulaabed, et kol hayehudim, to push the Jews into the sea. There was a ruler, a dictator named Nasser, who was the president of Egypt, and he united under his command seven Arab armies. He called it the UAR, the United Arab Republic, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and Egypt. A noose around Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael then, the state of Israel then, was very small. It's hard for us to picture nowadays that when you drove from the airport towards Yerushalayim, you drove through a prose door, through a corridor. To the left of you was Jordan. To the right of you was Jordan. That Shalavim was a border settlement. It's hard to imagine. But Nasser decided to annihilate the Medina, to destroy the Yishuv, only 25 years after the Shoah. And with all of his threats, the world was silent. So he decided to test the water. He threw the UN out of the Sinai Peninsula, where they had been since 1956 as a chayetz, as a division between the Egyptian army and Israel. He blockaded the Straits of Tiran so that no ships could get to Eilat, and the world was silent. It was a very, very, very frightening period. In Eretz Yisrael, after Pesach, there was a Giyus Kali, there was a call-up, and there were no men in the street. Either the men of army age were in the army, or they were in the yeshivot, or they were in shuls if they were retired, davening, saying Tehillim, namely, either you were in the army or you were learning, You could be learning in Karen Vyafna, you could be learning in the Mira from Chaim Shmulovitz, you could be learning in the Panovich of Rav Kahaneman, or you were saying Tehillim. High school kids delivered the mail. Individuals who already retired drove the buses. And we in Chutz La'aretz were glued to the TV. And the TV showed the Arab armies marching, and there were graphs. There were graphs in which they tried to show the relative power of all of the UAR and Israel. So they had, let's say, a silhouette of a soldier, and this soldier represented 20,000, 50,000 soldiers. And so you had like 70 soldiers representing the Arab armies, and you had like two soldiers representing the Israeli army. You had in the tanks, you had like 10 tanks representing the tank force of the Arab armies, and you had a quarter of a tank representing the tank force of Israel, and who had been in terms of airplanes. It was a very, very frightening time. And there was a call for volunteers, that there was no one on the kibbutzim to gather and to plant and to take care of the fields and of the livestock. There were children, there were women, and there were retirees. And so a call came out for volunteers. And I asked my parents permission to volunteer. My parents told me, you know, we have four children, two sons and two daughters. Your brother, I have a younger brother, Baruch Hashem. He's learning in Karen Vyafna. And he was post-high school, even though there wasn't a post-high school program in Karen Vyafna. My brother was post-high school in Karen Vyafna. And if you go, we'll lose the two of you. And that was the assumption was that I'm going, not going like a one-way ticket, going, you know, that was the feeling. And I convinced my parents that this was the value system to sacrifice for Klal Yisrael that I had been brought up on. And they cried and allowed me to go on one condition, that I wouldn't tell my grandparents. All four of my grandparents were alive. I wasn't allowed to tell them, wasn't allowed to say goodbye. They shouldn't know that I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. And then I went to say goodbye to my Rebbe, to the Rav. And he cried. I never saw the Rav cry. And the Rav told me, you know, I have a son named Chaim, and he's in Yerushalayim. Maybe you'll bump into him. And if you bump into him, tell him that I love him. The Rav never, never, never displayed emotion, particularly family emotion in that sense. But that was the feeling, namely that on the TV you saw Gan HaAtzmaut being dug up for mass graves, that they were expecting, unfortunately, a tremendous number of casualties. And so on June 4th, it was a Sunday, we, 38 volunteers, a good number of them were from YU and Stern. We got on the plane, and the war broke out when we were in the air. We landed on Monday morning in Paris. At that time, you couldn't fly directly from America to Israel. There had to be a stopover. We stopped in Paris and got off the plane, and everyone was listening to their transistor radios in French. And Baruch Hashem, I had studied French in high school. And so I was able to translate to the friends that I was with that we've lost the war, that Tel Aviv is being bombed by the Egyptian bombers, that all they had were the reports from Egypt and from Jordan, that Jerusalem is being shelled and Tel Aviv is being shelled, and nothing from Israel. And so we took out our Tehillim. My sister gave me a Tehillim as a gift. So I took out that little Tehillim that she gave me as a going away present. And we all sat in the airport and said Tehillim. And then we were asked, do we want to continue? We thought it was a little strange that we're being asked, do you want to continue? Because maybe there's no airport to go to. But we were asked, do you want to continue? And the 38 of us said, we wanted to. I was 20 years old. When you're 20 years old, you make decisions that afterwards you try to think about why did I make that decision? But But, you know, you say, okay, I'm already here, I'll continue. So we got into the air and our plane was diverted to Greece. And we didn't know why, but the plane was diverted to Greece. And we slept over that evening, Monday night in Greece. And in the morning, we woke up and opened the papers in Athens. And the papers also had that same news that, that the war had broken out and that Arab armies are rooting the Israeli armies, and that they're moving up towards Tel Aviv and moving across the Jordan, etc. And we're sitting there saying Tehillim in Greece. And then we were told to go to the airport. We went to the airport and we were told that we're going to land in Tel Aviv. We're going to land in Ben Gurion Airport. It's going to be a blackout, that the war is not going the way that the Arabs say, that there are Baruch Hashem victories, and they're not allowed to tell us more than that, but there is an airport to land in, but they're still afraid that there may be Egyptian planes, and so we're going to land in a blackout. And so we landed in a blackout, and on the plane we were told that the religious among us, which were almost all of the 38, the religious among us could choose between two kibbutzim. We could either go to Kerem B'Yavneh, or we can go to Chafetz Chaim. So my dear friend, who has remained a dear friend, Benji Levine, who was on the plane with me, tried to convince me to go with him to Chafetz Chaim, because his grandfather, Abaria Levine, told him that he should go to Chafetz Chaim. He could eat there, and have minyanim there, etc., etc. It'll be a good setting for him. And I said, look, in other words, I don't know very much about the geography of Israel, but my brother is in Kerem B'Yavneh, and there is this kibbutz called Kibbutz Yavneh. It's very likely that they are not that far from one another. I hadn't seen my brother for close to a year, and I said, I'd like to see my brother. So he went to Chafetz Chaim, and I went to Kerem B'Yavneh, and we woke up on Wednesday morning to go out to work in the fields. And so we spent the morning working in the fields. And when we came back, we were called back early. The radio was on in the dining room that Rav Goren was at the Kotel with his shofar, Har HaBayit Biyadeinu. This was Wednesday morning, Kaf Hei Iyar. This was Keil Nekamot Hashem. And then we continued, no one went back out to the fields. We continued listening. You know, it's Kerve Rachel Biyadeinu, Marat HaMachpelah Biyadeinu, and everyone on the kibbutz, just, you know, it's as though we were programmed. We all went to the shul of the kibbutz and said, Oz Yashir, Pasuk by Pasuk, the women, the children, the retirees, and we few American volunteers. We said, Oz Yashir, Pasuk by Pasuk. It was mamish, a sense of Hayinu Kachomim. It was something that this was not the scenario. It was a scenario we dreamed about, but it was not the scenario that we felt that we were entering. And 1 week later, like this year, like every year, after a week after Kaf Hei Iyar, comes Chag HaShavuot. And that's when they open the Kotel to the public. My friend Benji Levine, since he is a grandson of Abaye Levine, he got there earlier with Rav Aryeh. That was special permission. But for those of us, the masses, the Kotel was opened up on Shavuot. And so there was a bus that was going from Kerem B'Yavneh to Yerushalayim for Shavuot, as every frum Jew in Eretz Yisrael, almost every Jew in Eretz Yisrael tried to get to Yerushalayim for Shavuot. And so my brother and I have had a relative who lived on Rehov Metudela, and we slept on his floor. There were no beds. Al Yomar Adam Tzarli Hamakom Yerushalayim doesn't mean you're going to have a bed. It means you'll have a place to sleep. So we slept on the floor on Rehov Metudela, and all of Yeshivat Kerem V'Yavneh and the few of us who joined from the kibbutz, we davened Vasikin in Heichal Shlomo, and in the small shul of Heichal Shlomo. And then we marched from Heichal Shlomo down Rehov Agron towards the Kotel. The march was led by Rav Hadari, Rav Yeshaya Hadari, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Then he was the Mashgiach in Keren B'Yavne. Those who know who knew Eli Klein, he was also in charge there at the march. Rabbi Willig, he was in Keren B'Yavne at the time. He was marching. We were marching together and singing. Omdos Hayu Raglenu B'Sharayach Yerushalayim. We marched down Rehov Agron. And then there was one-way traffic. It was impossible to have two-way traffic. We were all sent to Gay Ben Hinnom. We went down into Gay Ben Hinnom and came up on a path that was called the Pope's Road. It was built because the Pope wanted to visit both the Yerushalayim on the Israeli side and the Yerushalayim on the Arab side. And so they built a road through no man's land that he should be able to go from one to the other. Which, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that this road served for the Ole Regel, in quotation marks, for those of us who were going for the first time in 19 years, for the first time to be able to go to Yerushalayim, Ha'atika, Yer Ha'atika, to go to Yerushalayim Shel Ma'ala. And so we went up through Gay Ben Hinnom and entered into Sha'ar Tzion and then from Har Tzion, from Shaar Tzion, we marched down to Sha'ar Ha'ashpot, entered into the Old City, and went to the dusty area that had been bulldozed in front of the Kotel. It was still full of dust. It had just been bulldozed in the previous 2 or 3 days. And Davin Musaf. And we Davin Musaf at the Kotel, and then we waited on our turn to touch the Kotel, to daven by the Kotel, to cry on the stones of the Kotel with the 200,000 Jews who gathered on that day, all coming in the same route that I spoke to you about, and then going out via Sha'ar Yafo. It was a circle. You went in via Sha'ar Tzion and Sha'ar Ashpot. We were able to spend time at the Kotel, and then to go out via Sha'ar Yafo. I don't think I'll ever forget that day. Klal Yisrael were one. The Yerushalmim who had been separated from the Kotel for 19 years, the rest of us to whom the Kotel was simply a dream. I had been in Eretz Yisrael when I was 14 years old. My parents, my brother was 12 and I was 14. My parents took us for our bar mitzvah trip to Eretz Yisrael, and we were there during the summer. And so on Tisha B'Av, we went up to the roof of the Dormition Abbey on Har Tzion to Daven Mincha, and we were told, if you look over there and you see that dome, underneath it is the Kotel. Underneath it is, that was the closest that we had known that we could get to the Kotel from the to be on the top of the Dormition Abbey, and to be told that in that direction is the Kotel. And so from Tisha B'Av, when at the age of 14, to Shavuos, to a Regel at the age of 20, was a jump of light years, a jump from Churban to a feeling of Me'afela or Gadol, to a feeling of a tremendous gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Tehillim, in the end of the third parak, we say, Ki Lashem HaYeshua, I'm sorry, Lashem HaYeshua al amo, Dir Chasecha Sela. In other words, that we speak about the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu brings about Yeshuot, and on us, our obligation and our privilege is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yeshuot that He brings upon us. But I think that in addition, what is proper for us is not just to be Meshabeach and not just to be Mode, but to be Mavakish. Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha Kumi Tzei Mitoch HaHafecha. That the Geula in no way is complete. There's a process. An atchalta de geula we have experienced. But I think that Yetz Hashem, Shekadosh Baruch Hu, will bring the geula today, that this Shavuos, even before, will be able to bring korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, will be able to dance with Mashiach. But I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to appreciate properly the gifts that he's giving us. He gave us the gift of Yerushalayim, of Kever Rachel, of Marat HaMachpelah. He gave us the gift of a Medina in Eretz Yisrael that every Jew can come to. He gave us a gift of a Kiyum of the Nevuah of Ki Mitzion Teitzei Sora U'Dvar Hashem at Yerushalayim. Many of you who are listening to me have learned in Eretz Yisrael, and that's why you are who you are. Many of you are looking forward to coming to Eretz Yisrael. And the gift of Eretz Yisrael, Kinei Nahara, is here. I can't tell you what it means, knowing the situation that you're in, to be able, Baruch Hashem, with the Nisim v'Niflos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the permission of the Ministry of Health, to be able to learn in the Beis Medrash of Grus, along with the Chevra in Grus this morning, to be able to daven in the Beis Medrash of Grus, that I'm aware that this is something that where you are is still a dream that you're waiting for. To be able, the night of Yom Yerushalayim, to have a Sudat Hodaya with the Chevra in Grus. These are gifts also of Hayinu Kacholmen. This is not the norm in the Jewish world that we're living in currently, but this is all part of this gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us. His presence, Baruch Hashem, is felt in Eretz Yisrael, the Shechina HaKadosha. And we have to be able to pull ourselves together to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Im Yirtzeh Hashem, he should continue the gifts that he's, the Shefa that he's been pouring upon us, that we appreciate the gifts and we will do our best to link in to the gifts, the gift of Eretz Yisrael, the gift of Torah, the gift of Klal Yisrael, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful nation. And I'm Sgula She'en Kamoha, to break down the barriers that we built, unfortunately, among ourselves. And Im Yirtzeh Hashem to daven that will be Zocha to the kiyum of the wish with which we ended Leil HaSeder, Lashana Haba'a B'Yerushalayim. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, Lashana Haba'a B'Yerushalayim HaBenuyah.